God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the 20th day of September 2006, and you are listening to our Wednesday evening broadcast. Tonight, our message is brought to us by our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo, from the book of Genesis. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are at in the world listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. God bless you, and thank you for listening.
We're back in Genesis 48 tonight. If you turn over there, Genesis chapter 48, as we continue our series, just a couple chapters left now in our series on life of Joseph and his family. As we began that back in Genesis chapter 37 and began making our way through, and I'd like to revisit chapter 48 this evening. If you'd stand if you would, and turn to chapter 48. We're going to read down at the end of this chapter. We've already read this chapter last time we met and got together on this, but I want to refresh your memory at the end. This is Jacob now. He's 147 years old, and he knows it's time for him to die. He's passing away, and I mentioned last time, I'll just remind you, because we've all slept since then, but normally the Bible's not a book about death. I mean, when it mentions death, it's pretty quick, you know, and Abraham died, you know, and Joseph died and went to be with his fathers. I mean, it's like a sentence, you know, a verse, and that's it. So when you stop and you come to Jacob, and there's 73 verses, four chapters about his death, there's got to be something important about that. So I just began looking at it and studying it out and just found a few things I want to point out. And here's probably one of the other areas I want to show to you tonight is some of the wording here and the great importance I believe it brings to us. Look at Genesis 48. We come to the end. Jacob has called for Joseph now, and Joseph has come. And he's blessed his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. In verse 20, he says, "And he blessed them that day, saying, In thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, Behold, I die, but God shall be with you, and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite, with my sword and with my bow." Lord, we do come to you once again. Lord, what a gracious God you are. As we recount the many blessings and the way that you've worked in our lives personally and corporately, Lord, it brings us great delight to know, Lord, that you truly are with us. And Lord, we cannot help but to constantly praise your name for just that thought, Lord, that you are with us. And Lord, tonight, as we examine this statement from Jacob, an aged man who has spent a long time now, he's had his ups and he's had his downs. He has faithfully served, and there's been some times, Lord, that his character has been questionable. But yet, through it all, Lord, he has realized one thing, Lord, that you were with him the whole way. And Lord, we pray that that thought would rest deep into our hearts and souls even tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It was Graham Cook who wrote, "God is consistent, but he is unpredictable." Boy, that's true. God is consistent, but he is unpredictable. He is consistent in his nature. You always know where you are with God, okay? But you seldom know what he is going to do next. Boy, that's true. You cannot find security in what God is doing. There is only insecurity in who God is. That is a powerful statement. You know, it's true. You'll never find security in what God is doing. Unless, of course, he's finishing up a project, you know exactly what he's doing. But the fact of the matter is, if you try to figure out what God is doing, it will blow your mind. Matter of fact, that's one of the reasons he's God. He doesn't tell us what he's doing. He doesn't have to explain all the details and so forth. There was a day, I know when I was growing up, it was that way in our home. We did things because Dad said so. We never said, "How come? Why? What are you doing?" It was always, "Because I said so." And then when the end result came, you just kind of figured it out. Okay, I guess I got it now. God is so much bigger and so much broader and so much deeper. And so often in the Christian life, we want to know exactly what's happening and why. And if you've lived your Christian life long enough, you realize that doesn't always happen. I mean, you have confusion. You're going along serving God, going, "What's next? And what are you going to do in this situation? How are you going to take care of this?" It'd be nice if God would just email us. Amen? Okay, well, on this date, this is going to happen. But it doesn't happen that way. So we have to learn to trust in who God is. Not always what he is doing. Because I guarantee you there will be times in your life that you'll be totally confused about what he is doing and wondering if you're even making the right decisions, going the right direction. But the one thing you'll never be confused of, there's one thing that should never just get you rattled and cause chaos in your mind. And that thought is this: is God with me in whatever I'm doing? The answer is yes. God is with us in whatever we are doing. And I see Jacob here in verse 20, he says this as he's talking to Joseph and his sons. He says, "And Israel said unto Joseph, Behold, I die, but God shall be with you." That's an amazing statement to me for a lot of reasons. I began looking at this and say, first of all, how can he make such a statement? How can he make such a powerful statement? How does he know that God will be with Joseph? How does he even understand that? I mean, that's a powerful statement to say, hey, guess what? I know that God's going to be with you. Probably one of the best ways I can recount that and the importance of having such knowledge and explaining that comes from Cindy Holmes, a writer and pediatric nurse in Houston, Texas. She wrote an article. She ran into this mom and son who had HIV, and it was in full-blown AIDS at the time. And by the time that she ran into them, being a nurse, pediatric nurse, they were in the hospital and spending an extensive amount of time. And really, it came down to the doctors finally coming in and telling the mom that, you know, literally there's nothing we can do. You know, the boy, since birth, had HIV, and kind of a long story there, but he was born with it. And I mean, from the beginning, he had to go around with all these medications, and he'd be outside playing like a normal boy, but he had a backpack full of medications he had to have. Then as it progressed, he'd be running around with oxygen tanks and every medical thing that you can imagine. But he just kept on going until finally, as you know, the disease and virus just got so severe, he was stuck in the hospital. They tried everything they could, and as just a young man, you can imagine a mom and her fear and anxiety as her little bitty boy is not going to get to experience life. And neither is she. I mean, her life's coming to an end as well. But the doctors came and said that it was really progressing faster in him than her, and that she needed to prepare that he was going to pass away before she did. So in that, Miss Cindy Holmes began to write. And she said she probably came across one of the most amazing experiences. She said she watched as the mom pulled the little boy up to her bed and decided to talk to him about death and life and love. She said, then she brought up the topic of heaven. And she said, the mom to the boy, you know, Tyler, I was kind of hoping that you'd do your growing up here. But the doctors say your body is telling them that you might want to move on and grow up in heaven. She continued, you know, I made a decision. Tyler asked, what's that, mommy? She said, I've decided that if you're going to live in heaven, I'm going to do that too. Because wherever you are, that's where I want to be. A few days later, Cindy Holmes, the nurse, was in Tyler's room. She said he looked up at her and said, Miss Holmes, would you do me a favor? She said, sure, Tyler, what is it? He asked, well, when I die, would you put a red shirt on me? Cindy answered, well, Tyler, why do you want me to put a red shirt on you? Tyler explained, well, I'm going to grow up in heaven, and I've been told it's fun over there, and I'm going to have friends, and I'm going to play, but my mommy is going to come over there too, and she's going to be looking for me. And if I'm real busy and don't see her coming, I want her to see me. So it's important that I have on something she can see, so would you give me a red shirt? Tyler looked up from his bed and continued, you know, heaven wouldn't be heaven without mommy. Cindy Holmes said, I was overwhelmed by the inexpressible sense of peace that was on his face, even at a time of inexpressible crisis. And suddenly I understood where it was coming from. His peace was a result of his mother's presence with him through his life, throughout his illness, and her promise that no matter where he went and no matter what happened, she would still be there. What a powerful story of a mother's love. As I read that this week, I thought of something greater, though. Isn't that what God is to us? Greater than a mother's love is a God who says, you know what, wherever you are, I'm going to be. You know, you can't run from God. You can't hide from God. Once you come to a place of accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, my Bible tells me in Ephesians 1:13 and Ephesians 4:30, that the very Holy Spirit of God comes inside and he seals us. And his Spirit comes and he lives in us, inside of us. And he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What powerful words from our Lord and Savior. And so when we come here to Genesis 48 and Jacob's passing away and he looks at his son, he says, I'm going to go, but I want you to know something. How much you know you're going to be okay, even though I'm going and you won't have me to talk with. And even though we won't have this great fellowship that we've just gotten back this last 17 years, and that'll all be gone. Don't worry. God will be with you. What comforting words. And I tell you why it was comforting, because as you look at Jacob's life, you find out that these are powerful words because they were spoken to Jacob years earlier. May we back up and do a little Bible study tonight in the life of Joseph. Back up in the book of Genesis real quick. And I'd like to give you a little journey in three or four verses here. Genesis chapter 28. Seeing this wording of God will be with you began to pique my curiosity. And as I did a little bit of search, I found out that there was four times that this similar wording was used in the life of Jacob. Genesis chapter 28, verse 15. In Genesis 28:15, Jacob is a young man. Matter of fact, it's at this passage right here that as this young man, he is leaving home. Now, of course, he's not leaving on good terms. If you remember the story, he's running for his life. He has just basically stolen the promise from Esau. Esau finds out and says, when dad dies, I'm going to kill him. So, you know, when an older brother gets mad, it's not always good, is it? So off he goes, man. He's running for his life. And you can imagine now going through his mind, man, he's leaving his mom and he's leaving his family and he's going to a strange land and he's going to go live with his cousins. Now, I don't know about you, but that can be good and bad too. And he's not lived with his cousin, but he has heard rumors about his cousins and whatever he's got from his mom and family. And now he's got to go live with them. So we pick it up in Genesis 28. He's fleeing. He's out on the mountainside. And there he is. And God comes to him in Genesis 28:15. Look what it says. And it says, and behold, the Lord comes and says, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest and will bring thee again into this land. And I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Wow. Can you imagine the confusion as you're running for your life? I mean, you just obeyed mom and you went in and you stole the promise for Esau. Of course, it was a promise that you were supposed to get at birth, if you might remember. But, you know, Isaac was just a little bit too stubborn. He was going to do it his way. And so through deception, he had to go ahead and get the promise, and he did. And now he's running for his life, scared to go home, and off he goes. Scared of the... You ever been in a transition spot where you don't really know what's coming up next? I tell you what, that's a scary place to be. I don't know what's coming next. You know, I don't have a job and I need one. Where do I get one? I got to move. Where am I going to live? Where am I going to church? What am I going to do? I mean, all these transitions come. Here in a young man, and in a forced situation, he's running. He's thinking, man, have I done something so bad now that maybe God won't even work in my life anymore? And it's at that crossroads of his life that these thoughts must be stirring in his mind. And Almighty God comes to him and says, hey, I got some news for you. I will always be with you. And I got a plan for your life. And until that plan is done, I will be with you. Can you imagine the peace that came over him? Can you imagine the joy if God would come down to you and say, hey, got something to tell you, Scott. I'm going to be with you wherever you go. Wow, even Ponca City? Yeah, God even resides in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Can you believe that? I'll be there. What comforting words. May I remind you of Matthew chapter 28, the same type of comforting words are given to us. You remember when Jesus left this earth and he says that he's going to go, and of course John 14 says he'll go to prepare a place for you. But then he says, and lo, I will be with you always at the end of the Great Commission. I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. Wow, we have the same similar comfort. Would you accept Christ? You need to understand something. No matter where you're at, God's going to be with you. Man, that was exciting. Well, then it doesn't stop there. He goes on a little bit farther in his life. Turn with me down just a little bit in the book of Genesis to chapter 31. Just three more chapters. Chapter 31. In Genesis chapter 31, you look over in verse 3, and we see similar wording. It says here as Jacob now is running again. Boy, he ran a lot in his life. Matter of fact, this time he's been working about 20 years. Got Rachel, got Leah, and he got his cattle. And now God comes to him. If we had time to read the story, God comes to him and says, time for you to leave. Okay, you have to understand though, Laban, oh man, Laban's hard taskmaster. Laban's one of those mean bosses, man. I mean, constantly changing wages, and he knows what he's like. He says, okay, God, if you want me to leave, I'm going to leave, but scared to death, because when Laban finds out, he is not going to be happy. So in the middle of the night, he packs up his family, and off they go, and they take off. Gets several days down the road, and finally, you know, Laban's like, hey, where's my family? It took off. He gathers his men, they put on their swords, and off they go. Man, he's coming after him, and he's going to do a whooping to Jacob. Why? You just stole my daughters and my grandkids. Of course, he didn't belong to him anymore. But he had that type of mentality. Everything belonged to him. And he was a mean man, and here he came. So here he goes. But you know, there's another situation, though, where God had told him to go was back home to Canaan. He left there 20 years ago. You might have remembered what we just read over in Genesis 28. He left a very mad brother. So you got a brother going one direction that you're getting ready to head to in Canaan that says, if I see you again, I'm going to kill you. And behind you, your father-in-law is saying, if I catch you, I'm going to kill you. Not a fun place to be in. Genesis chapter 31, we pick it up. Look what it says here. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. Wow. No argument. Jacob didn't go through a long list of, yeah, but my brother's there, man. He's probably got a lot of army. I've heard stories about him. I can't go there. He gets up and off he goes. Wow. Man, you ever feel like you're in a rock and a hard place? I mean, any decision you make is going to be bad. You know, you're not going to win either way. Well, here he is. And once again, God intercedes and says, hey, I want to remind you, I am so glad that our God reaffirms his presence with us periodically in our life. By the way, can I just say right here at this point in the message, you know why you want to be in church? Because you get reaffirmed to the things that you already know. He'd already been promised this before. This was not a new promise to him. But now God was reaffirming to him. Now listen, we live in a wicked world, do we not? We live in a world that just challenges our thoughts, our emotions, and even those things that sometimes we just know are true. If you were to ask us without a doubt, do we know this? There are times in our life that we question it because we're emotional beings. I mean, there are just times where all of a sudden we have one of those days, everything gets stirred up inside, and you just need some reaffirming, some reassurance. You know where you get that? From thus saith the word of God. That's why you ought to be in the word of God. You know what I love about today that's different back then? I know it would have been great to have God talk audibly to you, but do you not understand how long that is? I mean, come on. He leaves us 20 years since the last time God's audibly talked to him. I mean, how many of you would make it with God talking to you one time for 20 years? You say, oh, preacher, I love that. Give me a break. I mean, some of us, you know, we've got to have, you know, so much affirmation and backing up just to make it through the week, let alone, I mean, come on, 20 years, you get one statement from God? I'm going to tell you, if I was Sam, I'd start thinking, was that really God? I mean, let's get real. After 20 years, did I eat pepperoni pizza the night before or something? I mean, was I just strenuous? I mean, you're going to start questioning it. But you know what God did? Oh, man, I love God. God not only told me he'd never leave me or forsake me, he gave me a love letter that I could read and reread and reread and go, you know what? He said that. But now he comes one more time and he reaffirms and says, now listen, there's another critical time in your life. And I know you think nobody's going to be there, but I wanted to remind you that I'm going to be there. So he says, okay, off he goes. There's a third time in his life. Let's go a little bit farther. Genesis chapter 31, verse 5. Genesis 31, verse 5. And said unto them, I see your father's countenance that it is not towards me. But the God of my father hath been with me. Go down to chapter 35, verse 3. Chapter 35, verse 3. He says the same thing. He says, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. Man, two times God says, I am with thee. God will be with you. And now we come to another time in Jacob's life. And now after God has come to him twice and said, listen, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be there. When Rachel dies, I'm going to be there. When your brother's coming after you, I'm going to be there. When Laban's coming after you, I'm going to be there. When you get cheated out of your wife, I'm going to be there. No matter what happens to you, I'm going to be there. And now we see he's had all this reassurance, years and years of God saying, I'm going to be there. And now we come to chapter 35. Man, this is exciting. And he says this. Guess what? I recognize it. Look what he says. He says, and he, God, verse 35, verse 3, he says, who answered me in the day of my stress and was with me in the way which I went. Man, this is so big. The first two times, you don't really hear a response from Jacob. You just hear God saying, listen, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. But it's finally clicked. Hey, he is. You don't know how important that is? You see, what you understand is this. Whether you recognize it or not, God is with you. Miss Moore, I know you have no friends tonight. No one's sitting next to you. Okay, but seriously, God is with you. Okay? I know they abandoned you. I'll talk to them after services. Okay. She goes, that's what I get for being late. but God is with you. I mean, think about it. Now listen, if she doesn't understand that, guess what? God's still with her. Now think about that. It doesn't matter if she feels it today. Doesn't even understand if she understands it today. The fact of the matter is, you coming to that point doesn't change the fact that God will always be with you. It just helps if you recognize it. You say, why? It gives you sanity. The sooner you recognize stuff like that, the more confidence you have, the more boldness you have, the more ability you can do things for God. Why? Because you recognize, hey, it doesn't matter what I do. God's with me. You know what I think would be a good exercise? Have you ever just stopped to look back at when God's been with you? Now think about it. You ever notice we come to trials and stuff in our life and we start getting nervous, upset, anxious would be a good word. Let me tell you one of the best things you could do is just stop and say, you know, I want to reflect when God was with me. I began my Christian life at the age of 11. That's when God began to be with me first. And by the way, at that time, I accepted him. He's never left me since. But I can begin to look back at my life. If I were to take the journey of John Waterloo, which you do not want the whole story to tell me. Trust me on that one. But seriously, I can see times in my life, critical times God was there. He was there at the age of 13 when he called me into the ministry, clear as day. I know I'm supposed to be a preacher. Why? Because God said so. Put a burden in my heart, knew it right there. Clear as day as I knew he wanted me to go to Bible college. So off to Bible college I went. Then one day I met this beautiful blonde and said, whoa, she's the woman for me. She said, yes, we got married. We said, okay, wonderful thing. Then we decided to have kids. Usually happens when you get married. Had Jonathan, first week he's in ICU for about 3 days. Guess what? God was with us. A couple years later, we decided to have another one, Samuel. He decided to stay in ICU for about a week and then have major heart surgery. God was with us, and we decided no more kids. Yeah, this is getting worse each time. But, you know, through the whole thing, I just remember going back. I mean, God was with us in every step of the way. We decided to move to Ponca City, Oklahoma. I had a kind of a mental list of where I was going to go when I graduated. Would you like to know where Ponca City was? Yeah, I had California, anywhere else, Ponca City. That was a mental list. I'd rather be to ask me, I mean, for a couple of years, why don't you come to Ponca City? You don't have the guts to say, no way, man. No way. But inside, I'm going, no way. 19 years later, hi. Still here. Amen. But, you know, seriously, God was with that. You know, as a young man, I never would have chosen to come here. Yeah, I'm serious. It just wasn't on my radar. And God said, nah, that's where you need to go. And I look back now and say, you know what? God was with that decision. Every step of the way. You don't always know it when you're in the decision. You ever notice that? You don't always know that. Is God really there? I don't always see him. But that's why I can't really trust in what I see. I must trust in who he is. And the older you get, the more experiences you have, you begin looking back saying, God is with you. Through the difficult times of surgery, through the assault and the different things we went through with Brenda and our family, to moves, to everything you can imagine. And I can look back, and every step of the way, there was never a time where God was not with us. And when he said in Hebrews 13:5, matter of fact, turn over to Hebrews 13:5. What a powerful verse. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. I know it's a little difficult to see, but boy, it is good. It begins with, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. But I really like the end of this verse. He says, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, he's talking about covetousness and things and stuff like that. But the whole premise of it is, why are you worried about that stuff? Why are you worried about material things? It doesn't matter if you have it or not. You'll always have me. I'm like, wow. What a God. It don't matter what. Now, think about this. It doesn't matter what happens in your life. You'll always have me. I'll always be there for you. Why? Because I am God. That's a powerful verse. And we're looking at Jacob now. And we're coming to him. And in Genesis 48, he's looking at his son, Joseph. And with such confidence and boldness. Almost, I don't want to say in arrogance, but there's just, how can you say, Jacob, that God would be, how do you know God will be with your son, Joseph? How can you make such a bold statement to your son that, hey, God's on your shoulders, he's with you? Wow, that's bold. I'll tell you how, because after 147 years of seeing God's work, there was no debate in his life. He could now transfer his knowledge of God saying, I am with thee, I will be with you, him stopping saying, God is with me, and now he's taking a step further. He's not just saying, God's with me. He's going around to other people and affirming them, God's with you, and God's with you, and God's with you. Man, that's so encouraging. You know, one of the greatest encouragements, seriously, is when somebody else stops and recognizes that God is with you, and they mention that to you. You know, often, one of the great things, we'll have special speakers come to Central Baptist Church, and probably one of the most encouraging things to me is when they stand up and truly say from the heart, listen, there's something special happening at Central Baptist Church. And they'll say something like, you got a good spirit here at Central Baptist Church. Now, we already know that, but isn't that reaffirming? When God uses somebody else of maturity, somebody else that's been in the ministry that walks in and just spending some time with the people, say, hey, God is here. What does that do? That encourages us. And by the way, when you sense that, sharing that with other people is such a wonderful thing. Why? Because you reaffirm God's working in their life. It was Charles Spurgeon who on this passage of scripture had some great thoughts that I want to share with you. Boy, were they great thoughts. He came down and he said this. He says, what will happen when a person who has been greatly used in my life no longer has the strength or ability to carry on? And by the way, you know that's going to happen to all of us. Are you aware of that? There's going to be someone, maybe the person who led you to the Lord, maybe a parent, maybe a grandparent, has had great spiritual emphasis in your life, but one day they pass away. It's a cycle of life. Nobody lives forever. You say, what happens now? He says, well, if Abraham dies, there's Isaac. If Isaac dies, there's Jacob. And if Jacob dies, there's Joseph. And if Joseph dies, there's Ephraim and Manasseh. The Lord shall never lack a champion to bear his standard high among the sons of men. Only let us pray day to day to God to raise up more faithful ministers. That ought to be our prayer day and night. We have too much fine language, too much florid eloquence, and too little full and plain gospel preaching. But God will keep up the apostolic succession. Never fear of that. When Stephen is dying, Paul is not far off. When Elijah is taken up, he leaves his mantle behind him. I thought about that and said, you know what he's doing? I mean, here's Jacob, who finally got it in his life. God is with me no matter where I go. Woo! I mean, no matter what I go through, God is right there. And now he's taken all that faith and all that knowledge, and he's passing it on to someone else. Can I challenge our older, mature believers? You say, who is that? You put yourself in whatever category you would like. But honestly, those who have been saved for some time and serving the Lord, you're like, you know, I just kind of feel like a dryness in my life. What's happening? Can I just encourage you? One of the greatest things you can do? You can be such an encouragement to young people, and not just these young people, but I'm talking about young adults and families, that you would take your faith and you would take the time to pass that on, and you take it and you take time to just invest in other people's lives. You have no idea the impact and influence you will have by speaking the words of faith in their life, by taking the words of God right here and saying, hey, listen, if you'll follow this book and you read verses to them and quote verses to them and you'll do what this says, God will be with you. Wow, what power. We need that power back. One of the things I think Satan does to us right now, and I'm a firm believer of this, he tries to take our confidence away. He gets us to a point that we don't know who we are, what we can do, or why. And here we are with the greatest power on the face of the earth. We have the Spirit of God. Satan can't touch us. The world can't hurt us. And yet we do very little sometimes for God because we're afraid. Why? Because we don't know what we have. Could you imagine if we'd walk around, and not in pride, but we'd walk around in strength of the Lord, as Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, in confidence knowing that God will be with me no matter where I go and what I do. Wow, what an impact. You mean if I witness to my neighbor, it'll be okay? Why? Because God will be with me. I don't know what to say. That's like checking the New Testament. You don't have to worry about that. He'll give you the words to speak. I've noticed that every time I go out, sometimes I walk up to the door going, what am I going to say? I usually start out with, hi. How you doing? You know, kind of start out that. I mean, seriously, but sometimes it just kind of starts flowing. You know, God just says, say this. Okay, boom, there it goes. You know, you're talking to somebody sitting next to you in a restaurant. It doesn't really matter where you're at. It's like, why don't we more? I'll tell you why. We don't have confidence. But if you knew, would anything change? If you got up each day and you went about your life and you went to work, if you knew that God was right next to you the whole way, would that change your work day? You think maybe when you got that inclination to share your faith, you think it'd be easier if you knew backing you up was God? You know? What if they ask a question? Just go up, ask him. Hey, pretty nice if God's right there. Just go, hey, ask him, he knows. Hey, wow, what an impact. But really, I tell you all it is, God has already said, I'm with you always, even unto the ends of the world. There is no place that you will be this week that God will not be with you. Doesn't mean he'll always like where we're at, but there's no place that you and I will go that he will not be with us. What a powerful statement. Let me leave you with a couple thoughts on the fact of God being with us that I wrote down that as I was looking at this, just kind of jumped out to me. Number one, I wrote down that as we look at Jacob's life here, and he's talking to Joseph, and he's ending, and he's giving this powerful statement of transferring his faith to Joseph, saying, God will be with you. I wrote down, first of all, the main thought that came to my mind is, God has promised never to leave us or to forsake us. In other words, there is nothing that you and I are going through or will go through that God will not be with us. Do you understand that? I mean, there is nothing right now. Nothing. I had a whole list in my mind. There's nothing that you're going through, I'm going through, or you will go through that God's not with you. We could take our present situation in the church. Guess what? God knows we're meeting at Pumpkin Theater. I mean, it's not a shock. God doesn't go looking for us over on Hartford Street, in case you're wondering. The Holy Spirit didn't miss the boat, you know, and show up over there going, wow, we're Central Baptist Church. He knows where we're at. He knows what we need, by the way. There's no debate in my mind. God is orchestrating every single bit of this. He is. If I had time to tell you right now, even the phone calls I got today, that just blew my mind on seeing the hand of God and how he's working and what he's bringing together. It would just blow your mind. And every step of the way, when we have a major need, we're like, what are we going to do? It's like God steps in and says, no problem, got this one covered. And somebody comes up with the right information. We're like, wow, man, what a relief. And God goes, relief? I had it planned the whole time. What are you worried about? You know, like, okay, and here we are. You know, we got to raise money to build, and we got to get out there. We're like, man, God, I mean, the price is going up. What are we going to do? He goes, oh, hold off. Got it covered. Everything's, Dale Brown's going to write you a check for $1.5 million. We got it covered. It's a word of prophecy right there, Brother Dale. Does that work? I want to try that again. I mean, think about it. I mean, it's just like, I mean, we get all stressed out. I mean, there's not, I don't care what you're going through or what you will go through. He hasn't forgotten. Something's pretty serious stuff. Some of this is pretty serious stuff. Secondly, I wrote down, where God leads, he will not only provide, but he will be present. Remember that old footprint saying that's been around for years? I don't need to read it because you're familiar with it. Basically, the guy complaining that, I look back at my life, the toughest times, there's one set of footprints instead of two. And God answers, well, at that time I'm carrying you. You know, there's some spiritual truth to that, believe it or not. It's a little bit of a poem that somebody wrote, but there's some spiritual truth that he came to a point of understanding that God was with him wherever he went. I need you to understand something. I understand that as we meet here tonight, it's kind of a safe atmosphere. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? We kind of put our worries and our fears away as we enter the door, and we're here to sing unto God and to give and to worship, and you need times like that. But I want you to understand that when you walk out, I understand you're picking those problems back up. Some of you are going through a mess right now. We have single ladies here. And you're here, and man, your life's hard. Some of you are trying to raise kids by yourself, and I know there's got to be days you're thinking, man, is this ever going to get easier, and what am I going to do? And I just want you to know something, that not only will God provide for you, but he'll be with you every step of the way. He sees every struggle you go through. Some of you have gone through divorce, the pains of divorce. Some of you are going through it right now, maybe. Church really doesn't know. Not even aware of what's taking place. But you're just an incident away from a breakup. And your heart is just tearing you apart. And you come to worship God every week, and you wonder, God, do you see what's happening in my life? Can I just tell you something? He does. I'm sure he does. These aren't just vain words. But yeah, I tell you, if we went early in Jacob's life, and I believe when God said, I'm with you, oh, what an encouragement that was. But he was still a young man, and you still don't see a great response from him saying, okay, God, you and I. And then God comes to him again, and he says, I'm with you. He's like, oh, thank you, God. But it's not until a couple verses later, he says, hey, guess what? God is with me. And now as he's dying, passed away, he says, not only is he with me, but he's with you. I'll pass him on to you. Wow, that's some faith. You know how that happened? He went through things, and he looked back and said, wow, God's with me. Woo, God is with me. I'm excited about what God's doing here. I went back and did some study of our church history. You know, we started in a theater. You sinful people, you. Started in a theater, a rich theater just down the street. A group of people got together, said they wanted a church, independent fundamental Baptist church, and then they moved a couple blocks away to Oak Street. If you read our history book, then they got together and said, man, we need to move up north where there's nothing but fields. And there's nothing up there. We're going to put a church up there. And there's some people in the church saying, what? What, are you crazy? Well, they got together and they voted, and it wasn't unanimous, but they voted. The majority said yes, so they went ahead and moved. And for 50-something years up on Hartford Street, souls saved, lives changed. God did some great things. Everything we needed, God took care of. Everything. There was never a time that we had something. Even in the toughest times, you go back and read the history, that God wasn't with Central Baptist Church. And now here it is, years later, we're looking to expand one more time. You not think that we could look back at a time when they were at Ritz Theater, beat up church on Oak Street, you know, church on Hartford Street, and now, I don't know if you noticed, no church building? Don't know if you've noticed that yet. But you don't think God is looking saying, I know exactly where you're at? You don't think God's looking saying, I got a plan? You don't think God's big enough to provide and will be with us every step of the way? Boy, that is so important. And I just began reading this thing. You know what? I just want to encourage you tonight to help you understand. We have a great big God. And when he said, John Waterloo, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know what he meant? John Waterloo, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He didn't say, now, John, if you get off track here, I'm going to abandon you. Okay? Now, I'm going to help you with some theology here real quick. Well, preacher, if I get off track and I quit going to church and I quit serving God, will God leave me? No. He's not going to be happy. And he's not going to bless you, but he's not leaving you. Now, I'll tell you, you're going to feel like he's gone. Okay? You're going to feel like, where are you, God? He's going to be, haven't moved. Been here the whole time. I've seen everything you've done, everything you thought. That's why I'm amazed. We're so hesitant to repent before Almighty God, like he doesn't know. You know, oh no, if I go forward, somebody will know. Really. You know, God's sitting there going, I've been waiting for this for a couple days now. A couple weeks, a couple months, a couple years, a couple decades. Would you just repent? I don't want you to know what I'm like, God. God's like, man, I've been living with you since the time you got saved. I know what you're like. You know what's exciting to me about that? I think sometimes we get in our theology that if I do bad, God leaves me. No! God never leaves you. The exciting thing about that is the minute you turn to God, he could change anything like that. Because he was never far away. He was just waiting for us to turn to him and start letting him lead. You ever been in that situation where someone wanted to lead and they were lousy at it? You just kind of sit back and watch and goes, okay. You want to do it? Have fun. And finally, after they blew it all, they came to you and go, could you help? Love to. Love to. I think it's God sometimes. Except they're going, you want to lead? Sure. Good luck. Of course, you're going to have a flat tire. Oh, right there. Yep. By the way, this was going to hurt. Very bad. Yeah, I wouldn't have done that. Oh, no. I have to see God doing that. Finally, I go, okay, God, would you just lead my life? I'll follow you. He goes, yeah. And then all of a sudden we come and give a testimony. Man, my life's doing so good and everything. And God's going, yeah, it's about time. You finally submitted. You know, oh, I got God back. He never left. We have to rededicate our life. Okay? You're not rededicating your life to get God back in your life. He was there the whole time. You're just saying, hey, I'm acknowledging to everybody else, I'm getting serious about following God now. See, Jacob, he wasn't exactly the best patriarch we ever had. Okay, seriously. But God never left him. God never left him. I had a final thought I wrote down here. When he said, God will be with you, I wrote down there's just something affirming when somebody else recognizes that God is with us. I've already mentioned the message, but I just want to remind you as I close here. I'm serious. I thought about this and I said, you know what? The house of God and the people of God are so important in that area. Because they reaffirm through the Word of God and through God, the Holy Spirit in their life to you and I, often God's presence and direction in our life. And I don't know about you, but we ought to make a plan to be in God's house as often as we can. Because in this world that we live in, we're not going to need to know and understand that God is with us less and less. But I'm thinking just a little bit that maybe we need to have just a little bit more reassurance that God is with us no matter what. And as things get bad, that we can always just turn to this book. We can always turn to the house of God and realize that no matter how bad it gets, Hebrews 13:5, no matter how bad it gets, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Folks, if you lose your job, you lose all your money, you lose your family, your house and everything, can I just remind you? How bad is that if you still have God? How bad is that if you still have God? Now, I know those things aren't fun, but I just want you to know how powerful it is to be able to say, God is with me. And then to turn around and be able to pass that on to someone else as you're dying, saying, and I believe God will be with you too. I just want you to know as your pastor, God is with Central Baptist Church. And he's with each one of you that have accepted him as your Lord and Savior. And whatever you're going through in your life, understand he's there. Never lose hope in him. You may not be able to see what he's doing, but he's there, and he'll take care of you.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo. No matter where you go, no matter what your circumstances are, God is there, and God will take care of you. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, I hope you'll stop by First and Grand and visit us at the historic Ponkin Theater Building in beautiful downtown Ponca City and give us the opportunity to get to know you. God bless you. Have a great week, and thank you for listening.